Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. I am the president of the nonprofit organization Texas Values, and I'm glad to be back. Took a week or so off to spend time with the family and try to recharge a little bit and see some great places across our state of Texas. So you probably got to hear from Nicole from our staff last week, doing a fantastic job for our organization. So, but I'm back to be here in the saddle, if you will. I was actually at the King Ranch earlier this week. I've got some family related to that ranch, that historic ranch. One of my great uncles was a vaquero on the King Ranch many years ago, and so they've got a nice photo of him in the King Ranch Museum and a lot of history related to that. So I wanted to my children to get some benefit from knowing about their family history. But, you know, it's not as if things came to a halt while I was gone. So much happening across the great state of Texas. And so let's just go ahead and jump right in. We have got a special guest today that's going to talk to us about some of the things that have been happening over the past couple of weeks in the state of Texas on faith, family, and freedom issues. And we have joining our show today, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jonathan, it's great to be with you, and thank you. I know your listeners know, but for those who may be tuning in for a first time or getting to know you, Jonathan Folk is one of the leading voices and fighters for liberty, freedom, values, religious freedom, and have partnered with conservatives like myself and others as long as I've been around. So thank you, Jonathan.
Well, we are delighted to have you a part of our show. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has been a leader for many years on the issues of faith, family, and freedom, particularly on religious freedom, on marriage, and of course the pro-life issue. And as a matter of fact, during the legislative session, a very important religious freedom and marriage bill was passed into law, the Pastor Protection Act, now the Pastor Protection Law. And one of the main reasons that law came about and really came to life from the Senate side was Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick saw that as a priority and made sure that that bill came to life, and then was certainly one of the big supporters of it as it went along through the process, and spent time with meeting with pastors on this issue and meeting with people across the state, and making it clear to people across the state of Texas your leadership and the concern and how important to you religious freedom is.
Well, it is. And, you know, Jonathan, the I think the Supreme Court, the five lawyers, as the Justice Scalia said, made the decision on same-sex marriage, and I think it was the wrong decision. It is the law. Excuse me. It is the law of the land until it changes. If it changes one day, if there's the will of a new president appointing new justices to review this, the Supreme Court decisions don't stand forever. But they have been changed from time to time, and we'll see the future of this particular law. But it is the law of the land, and one of the things that we wanted to be sure that that pastors would be protected. And, of course, we passed this law before the Supreme Court made their decision. We were hopeful they would not make this decision and leave it to the states. But we passed the law in the event they did declare same-sex marriage to be the law of the land. And we didn't want, Jonathan, a pastor, priest, anyone with a who leads their church to be forced to perform a same-sex wedding. And some people said, well, they don't need that. They have the First Amendment to protect them, really. We know the pastors in Houston, for example, as you know, they were even required to turn over their sermons to the mayor. Look, dealing with a same-sex issue, a transgender issue. And the truth is, Jonathan, that I have no confidence in the Supreme Court as it is today and what rulings they will make in the future. So we wanted to pass the Pastor Protection Act to assure that the pastors would be protected against doing something that, quite frankly, is to have to give up their church or go against everything they have been preaching on for a number of years. And it would undermine the integrity of the congregation, the church, and so we couldn't allow that to happen. What we need to do next, Jonathan, and I believe the First Amendment already does this, but we need also to pass legislation to follow up and give every citizen the assurance that if they do not want to participate in any type of activity that's against their religious beliefs, that they are not forced to do so. And let me be very clear, Jonathan, there's a difference between, for example, if you're a photographer, or if you're a baker, if you're a caterer. We're not saying that people have a right to turn down someone to come to them in their store to do business. However, if you're asked to participate in an event that you feel goes against your faith, and that's where the protection needs to be. And that's the next step I think we have to take, because as Justice John Roberts said, this issue may have been decided 5-4, but it's going to come back to the court in many forms and many ways in the days, months, and years ahead.
Well, we appreciate your leadership on this issue. And when people get an opportunity, if they haven't already, to see what the law says in the Pastor Protection Act, as you know and many of us know, it goes beyond just protecting pastors. And so
yes.
That's the name of the legislation. That way people have an idea of what it's about. But if you look at the wording of the language, you know, it could be a piano player at the church. It could be religious property
yes.
that a church owns or is affiliated with, that's a campground and so on. So, you know, really
yes.
one of the kind of broadest language that you could have in this particular area. And you were right. It was passed before the Supreme Court ruled. As a matter of fact, with your leadership and the leadership of others, there was bipartisan support and 2/3
yes.
in the House and the Senate, which meant when Governor Abbott signed it, which he did earlier this summer before the Supreme Court ruled, that law went to effect immediately.
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting, Jonathan, that in the House, every Democrat, I believe I'm correct in this, every Democrat voted for it. In the Senate, a number of Democrats voted for it. There were some no votes. But people understand that no one should be forced to go against their faith. And yes, it does protect the piano player. It does protect other entities involved with the church. And my belief is, yes, it's clear that pastors should be protected. But I think it's just as clear that every citizen, for their religious beliefs, can say, no, that's just not something I can do. It goes against my belief. It goes against my commitment to my faith. And
well, that's exactly right.
This country that was protected. And I worry about today that protection is under assault by people who have a political agenda to undermine, quite frankly, the church and religious beliefs of this country.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, our friends in the Houston area are continuing to fight that battle, and Texas
yeah.
Values have been involved in that. And so we are so thankful you're supporting an event that we're having in the North Texas area. The author and the House side of the bill is Scott Sanford. So the event is actually at
yeah.
the church where he is an executive
yeah.
pastor. How fun is that, right? The House author of the bill is a pastor. I mean, it kind of
yeah.
works. But that's next Tuesday, August 11th, or this coming Tuesday, August 11th. It's going to be from 6:30 to 9, and it's going to be a tremendous event to educate people about this law. And I know that you have been so gracious to provide a video so people will know your support for this issue and this event.
Yeah, I've actually had the privilege to speak at that church. Many years ago, the pastor actually worked in a restaurant I had as a waiter. And when I went up to the church to speak on the Sunday session, I wasn't aware of that until right before. And so it's interesting how life comes back around. So I guess being a waiter at a restaurant that I owned 30-some years ago, hopefully we were setting the right example. It led him to becoming a pastor. But I'm not available that day. I'm actually out of the state that day at a conference, but we've done a video to encourage and thank Scott, who's a terrific House member and associate pastor, being there. Jonathan, before we lose our time
yeah.
a little bit, I also want to talk about the Planned Parenthood videos as well.
Please. Tell us,
yeah,
you have been such a
yeah.
leader on this issue. This issue came about. You made sure that there was a hearing on this issue and now an investigation. Tell us about your involvement on that in the latest.
Well, first of all, these videos are barbaric and gruesome. Even people who are pro-choice in this country should not stand by these videos or make any excuses or any defense. Unfortunately,